Welcome to the Natural Health 365 podcast, natural solutions for everyday problems. Are you looking for natural health solutions? Visit naturalhealth365.com for a free subscription to our newsletter, free shows, plus some great gifts. And now, here's your host, Jonathan Landsman.
All right, thank you so much for joining us. Our show today, The Paleo Diet, A Doctor's Perspective. For many people, deciding on which diet is best for them can be confusing at best and often seems almost impossible to figure out, especially for those trying to lose weight or recover from a serious health condition. It seems like we have hundreds of diets claiming to be the best, everything from Atkins to vegan diets. Today, we'll focus our attention on the paleo diet, which has gained tremendous popularity in recent years. And if you're concerned about your health, this show is perfect for you. Stick around to the end of the program when we'll talk about the best heart testing procedures and the best supplements for heart health. But first, I want to thank our sponsor, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in the delivery system. To learn more, visit livonlabs.com. That's livonlabs.com. And now, please join me in welcoming our special guest, Dr. Jack Wolfson, to our show. Dr. Wolfson, welcome.
Thank you so much, Jonathan. It's a pleasure to talk to you. Excited to be here today to talk about a very important topic.
Dr. Wolfson, you call yourself the paleo cardiologist. What does that mean?
Well, you know, over the years, patients have been referring to me as the paleo cardiologist because I always talk about paleo. I always talk about paleo nutrition and paleo lifestyle, so hence I'm the paleo cardiologist because I realize that nutrition is the most important thing we can do for cardiovascular health. Nothing else is even close. People don't have heart disease because they've got a deficiency of statin-lowering, statin drugs that lower cholesterol or for blood pressure drugs. They have heart disease for a reason, and the number one reason is no doubt related to poor food choices.
Dr. Wolfson, a lot of people are going to be curious about this. I know I am. You've changed from obviously being conventionally trained as a cardiologist. You went through all the schooling and all of that stuff that, you know, I'll be honest with you, I often call it on my programs the brainwashing of conventional medicine. You went through all of that. What made you change from that to more of a holistic approach?
Well, you're totally right on that. It is an absolute brainwashing right from the first day. They introduce you right to the pharmaceuticals and to the procedures, and you start to really, pigeonhole diseases into this category and that category, when in reality, we have no diseases. Everything is related to poor nutrition and chemicals. And I learned that really from meeting my wife, and my wife is a chiropractor, and she's brilliant, and she's beautiful, and she speaks so eloquently. She's the one who really turned me from a typical cardiologist who was pushing pills and pushing procedures and just didn't get it as far as the cause. She opened up my eyes to become a doctor of cause, and that's what I have done over the last many years, transitioning myself into that doctor of cause, and it's always about trying to find what the issues are in the individual person to prevent disease and to treat disease. And it's been very successful, very rewarding for me and for my patients that I've taken this career choice.
You know, Dr. Wolfson, we haven't talked before about this, but I can certainly relate, not to go on and on about this, but I give all the credit to my wife as well. She's certainly shy not to get in front of the camera like I do and not get in front of the microphone like I do. But boy, is she clear and thoughtful and intelligent about so many things as well. And she has literally opened my eyes to many things as well and certainly made me a whole lot better for who I am. And I know you understand what I'm saying. We can't give enough credit to the woman in our life, right?
Well, that's certainly true. And I think, you know, everybody has a role in this health movement. You know, myself as a physician, you as a facilitator of the information to get it out to the public, and, you know, your wife and my wife and other spouses and other, you know, significant others in people's lives, you know, that play a role in just creating a healthy environment and a healthy world for ourselves and for our children and our children's children. This is what we're trying to do, and everybody needs to stand up and everybody needs to shout from the rooftops what's going on in our world in order to make it a healthier place, because there are some serious powers and people that are really standing in our way and trying to prevent the goals we're trying to achieve, for our health.
I know a lot of healthcare providers really pay close attention to a lot of the programs that I do, whether it's the talk hour on the weekend or this podcast every single week. I'm just curious, Dr. Wolfson, we got to talk about this a little bit. I can only imagine what you're about to say. What did your colleagues think when you made this shift? You know, the kind of cardiologist that you are today.
You know, my former colleagues, and I left a huge group of 40 healthcare providers. I was a senior partner in that group when I left in 2012, and not one of them believed in anything that I was doing and anything that I was saying as far as the importance of nutrition and supplements and lifestyle changes and sleep and relaxation techniques. They don't get it, and they don't want to get it. They don't have time to get it. They have time for 10-minute office visits, and their financial incentives are all about, you know, quick office visits and ordering lots of procedures and tests that are so often useless and, in fact, harmful to patients. They don't want to understand it. They refuse to believe that they've been told a lie, that the whole health world they think of, the whole sickness paradigm, is just fraught with errors. And there are so few of us that get it, the physicians that have changed and are in the process of changing. But I think that more and more are doing so, and I've got so many friends and colleagues that are on, you know, that have made the same choice as I have. The world is changing, and patients are educated. They're listening to shows like yours, and they're going on the internet, and they're going back to their doctors and saying, hey, wait a second, what about CoQ10, you know, for energy, or what about vitamin K for strong bones and for preventing coronary artery disease? If the medical doctors don't get it, they're going to be lost. They're going to be lost to the wayside on this, and they better wake up, because the world is changing for the better.
I totally agree with you, Dr. Wolfson. I mean, I host the Inner Circle. The Natural Health 365 Inner Circle has over 200 integrative healthcare providers. I know by the end of this year, it's going to be over 300. And my goal is to have well over 1,000 physicians just like you. This is a growing community of highly intelligent, credentialed professionals like yourself who are speaking out. They are making it a top priority to make changes. But without going into that too much, Dr. Wolfson, let's get right to the important point of today's program. Talk to us about exactly what is the paleo diet.
So the paleo diet is something that our ancestors have eaten for thousands and thousands of years, if not millions of years. It is the diet that has produced what we are today. And really, as we have evolved over time, so has our diet. And if we maintain that diet that we've been eating for so long, it's going to lead to optimum health. The foundation of my paleo pyramid, if you will, to use one of the government's platforms, is the foundation of that is vegetables. Some paleo people, they have a pyramid or a plate or whatever, and meat is at the bottom of that. For me, it's all about vegetables. Every diet pretty much agrees that vegetables are the foundation, and mine is no different. The paleo diet is no different. So we're talking about leafy greens. We're talking about carrots and celery and broccoli and a whole variety of items that are out there. Going to your local natural grocer, you know, check out all the different things there and try and incorporate them all into your diet. It doesn't take a fancy recipe. It just takes a big bowl and throwing that all in there and eating it topped with olive oil and nuts and seeds if you wish. And if you are in the mood, you can do obviously wild salmon or grass-fed meats or, you know, some other type of protein. But of course, we're talking about eating organic foods that are not sprayed with pesticides. Pesticides kill bugs and they will kill humans. We're talking about quality, organic, preferably local vegetables, nuts, seeds. I recommend lots of eggs, avocados, coconuts, and then, of course, as I said, wild seafood and grass-fed meats. That is paleo. I think that in general, most people, when they follow that, they will do extremely well. If you find you need a little bit of extra, sometimes athletes, some people that are trying to put on weight, then you can start adding in some sweet potatoes, yams, even some wild rice. But the two items that I'm always against sugar, and I'm always against gluten, the protein found in wheat, barley, and rye. So pretty much in the Midwest, when they want to fatten up cows, they load them full of grains. Humans are no different. So things that are typically not paleo are going to be the grains such as wheat, barley, and rye, corn, soy. Beans are not on that diet. But as much as we can keep those bad foods away and stick with the paleo foods, our health is going to be tremendous.
Dr. Wilson, I know you have a lot to say about this. I just want to throw out some comments and get your feedback on this. But the whole idea of this paleo diet is really getting people in touch automatically with foods that really make more sense. Like, for example, you mentioned getting away from gluten. People need to understand that the wheat today is not the wheat of our great-grandfathers or our grandfathers. For example, I've had many soil scientists and, you know, health experts on this program that are warning that today what the wheat farmers are doing, not all of them, but many of the major wheat farmers are spraying their crops right before they're harvesting the wheat so that they can dry it up better, right? You know what they use? They use glyphosate. They're spraying this toxic herbicide ingredient all over the crops to dry it up and make it easier to harvest the wheat. But what that means is people are swallowing that toxin at much higher levels today, more than ever. And when we're talking about paleo, we're talking about getting more in touch with what our ancestors did. I mean, they didn't buy and get foods that are so strange with all of these chemicals and additives and not so far away. What a fantastic thing to get in touch with the local farmers market and to support local agriculture and get fresher food. I'm sure all of this makes sense to you, no?
I agree with every single point that you just made. The food today is clearly different than it was 10,000 years ago. You know, 10,000 years ago, the world was pure. We didn't have to worry about chemicals and pesticides and glyphosate and all the different other agents that are being used and the synthetic fertilizers that are being utilized. It's a totally different place. Glyphosate is obviously poison. It's poison to herbs and to plants, and it's certainly toxic to humans, and there's plenty of evidence of that also. So if you are going to, and I tell this to my patients, listen, if you listen to my whole spiel about paleo and you decide that's not right for you, okay, fine. That's obviously your choice. But please do yourself a favor and the world a favor. Eat everything organically. Either know the farm where it's coming from or know that it's certified organic, because then you're getting everything that you love in the food, whether it's the sugar or it's the feelings you get when you eat grain such as wheat, barley, rye, or whatever it may be, or the dairy products. But you don't get the chemicals. You don't get the extra things in there, the artificials, the synthetic things are in there that are so toxic to our bodies. If you're going to eat ice cream, fine. Go get organic ice cream. If you're going to eat chocolate, go get organic chocolate. If you want to eat wheat bread, go get organic wheat bread or multigrain bread or whatever that is not sprayed with pesticides, herbicides, such as the aforementioned glyphosate. And there's plenty of information in scientific literature about the dangers of glyphosate to the human condition, and there will be a lot more that are published over time. Like anything, you know, people do not typically publish this kind of information because there's no money to find out the truth. All the money comes from the corporations that are producing these products, and they try and hide these facts. But the truth is out on glyphosate and so many others and genetically modified foods. It's all a problem. But as far as, you know, gluten in and of itself, is that toxic to us? I mean, clearly it's toxic to the people with celiac disease, and celiac only represents, you know, 1-2% of the population. It is definitely underdiagnosed, but people that have celiac disease have a markedly higher risk of coronary artery disease, and that is the same of any autoimmune disease, whether it's rheumatoid arthritis or psoriasis or systemic lupus erythematosus. They all have a much higher risk of cardiovascular disease.
I've said this time and again, Dr. Wilson. I know that I do these programs not so much for just every person that's listening to this program on a regular basis. I know they get it already, but it is so important to produce programs like this so that it's used as a tool that it can be shared with so many other people out there who are not hearing the message that food is so intimately connected to the health of your heart, plus any other condition that someone might be struggling with. Your health is very much connected to the food that you eat. So I ask you, Dr. Wilson, you're a board-certified cardiologist. How does the paleo diet actually help those people to prevent heart problems?
Well, as you said, you know, we never learn about any form of nutrition in medical school, residency, fellowship. We never talked about it. We never talked about any of these health issues. It was always about pills and procedures. But when I teach people the right ways to eat, and like I said, getting rid of the chemicals is a good start, but then honing down into that paleo diet, the blood testing that I do always looks better on those people. Sugar is one of the biggest villains in the world, and by removing sugar, which is non-paleo, clearly, you know, markers of inflammation go down, cholesterol levels go down. So many, you know, of course, blood sugar goes down, and blood sugar hence, you know, leads to increased blood sugar and therefore diabetes. And diabetes is pretty much the number one risk factor associated with everything else, whether it's heart disease, cancer, or dementia. Diabetes is something we definitely do not want to develop. And what leads to that? It is the sugar, it's the grains, it's the carbs that are doing it. They are irritating to the body, and our bodies aren't built for it. This, you know, as we've, you know, changed over time, over the last, you know, thousands and thousands of years, our bodies are just not adapted to these new forms of foods, and our health clearly suffers from it.
I want to thank our sponsor, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in the delivery system. To learn more, visit livonlabs.com. That's livonlabs.com. Dr. Wolfson, I think this is probably a good time for us to talk about the environmental factors in terms of what those factors are that actually cause heart disease. What would you say to those people out there?
Well, once again, the research is there. Anybody can go search this information on the own our own government's website. It's called pubmed.gov. And there you can search all the medical literature, and you can punch up pollution and heart disease. You can punch up air pollution and hypertension or stroke, and you will find that there is an association every single time. So clearly, pollution that is in our environment, air pollution, outdoor, indoor air pollution is coming from all of our furniture and our carpets and our flooring and our paints and all the things we bring into our household that are circulating around the air that are so poisonous and toxic to us and our health. This is clearly a major, major issue when it comes to pollution. Other environmental factors, you can talk about plastic and BPA found in plastic and other components of plastic that are clearly associated with increased cardiovascular disease risk. Talk about heavy metals. Mercury, arsenic, lead, aluminum, cadmium, all of these things that are on that periodic table that we all saw in high school. Some of these heavy metals are clearly associated with increased risk of cardiovascular disease. One of the things that I've commented on very strongly in the past and will continue to do so is that of vaccines, and 69 doses of vaccines into an 18 years of age, there are heavy metals that are in there, including mercury and including aluminum. These are two items that are associated with heart disease risk. So are we, by injecting these materials into the bodies of our children and into ourselves for that matter, are we increasing cardiovascular disease risk? I think so, and I think the truth will come out someday that, you know, clearly that's a problem. So when it comes to the environment, there are some major factors that are clearly linked with disease risk of all kinds.
I think it's completely irresponsible when they talk about how, well, these things that you just mentioned don't really have much of an impact at all. They love to bring it out. And when I say they, you know, government health agencies that are not really protecting the public health at all, or any of these nonprofits or any of these so-called experts that are being funded by the chemical companies that produce all of these toxins or the pharmaceutical industry, they're clearly not interested in protecting the public interest because they want everybody to focus in on each and every individual situation, as if that's all there really is in real life. Like what you said, you have all of these vaccines that are being given. You have all of these chemicals in food that are eaten every single day by those that are uneducated, and they're bioaccumulating in the body. What makes them think that all of this would have no effect at all? It certainly isn't based on science. They've done no studies to look at something like that. And I think the clear reason for that is what you've mentioned already before in the show, which is there's no money in that. Why on earth would they want to do a study that makes them look bad?
No, and if you're the researcher who comes out with the truth, you can pretty much kiss your career goodbye. You're not, you know, look, you know what they did to, you know, Andrew Wakefield and his colleagues. You know, if you're someone, you know, who once again is going to, you know, be speaking speaking out the truth, you're really putting your career in jeopardy. They'll talk about, for example, the amounts of aluminum or mercury in vaccines, and they'll say, oh, well, there's less in a can of tuna fish than there is, you know, in mercury in a vaccine and the flu shot. Well, nonetheless, we're not injecting cans of tuna fish into our arms as we do the injections of a vaccine. And if they mention that this is on a milligram basis, so there's less mercury in there than you can put on a pinhead. Well, if you look at the atoms that are in there, the atom is the smallest marker of that it's still mercury. It's the smallest molecule, if you will. But there are trillions and trillions of those individual atoms that are injected with each shot or dose. Trillions of trillions, a number that none of us can even fathom. It is so high. That gets injected, and every one of those atoms moves around the body, and they go into the individual cells, and they affect the mitochondria, the energy, the powerhouses of the cells, and they affect enzyme function. It is foolish and moronic to not recognize that fact, that they're doing such damage to the body. And we know that mercury, according to every government source around the world, is toxic to the body. That is a given fact. Yet we inject it, and trillions of atoms are floating around. And how can we think it's not causing mass destruction?
And it's also quite deceptive when they say that, oh, you know, that little bit of mercury, you know, it's the kind of thing that you get in tuna fish. It's totally absurd, because there it is, your digestive system, which has natural defense mechanisms built in, that when we do eat some toxins, right, not that we want to make that a high priority, but when it does come into our digestive system, there are ways that our body innately has the ability to fight against some of those toxins and deal with them. With a vaccine, you're talking about injecting it into the bloodstream, into our bodily fluids, and bypassing digestion. Also, it's important for people to understand, when this program is all about eating right and taking care of the heart, our heart is like an electrical being. Everything that we put into our body, not only the food or our toxic exposure, the free radicals that are created that can literally damage muscle tissue, like in the heart, in our arteries, in our veins, all over the place, and also our thoughts and what we think about. All of this has to do with that. If people are looking for something that's a little non-scientific but makes total common sense, if you just take a break from your daily activities now, which may be a little too stressful, surrounded by computers and electronics, and you get away from the city, and you go just take a walk barefoot on a beach by the ocean, or if you go into a park and you're walking on the grass without any shoes on, and you just spend 45 minutes or an hour and a half out there, how could anyone not walk away realizing, wow, what a difference I feel physically, mentally, and emotionally. I mean, it's good for your heart. It's good for every cell in your body. What is that if that's not a really positive change in our environmental factors, right, that make us feel so much better? Isn't it obvious?
It certainly seems obvious to me. Everyone knows you feel better when you're at the beach. You can just, you know, close your eyes and think about walking barefoot at the beach, and I think you'll lower your blood pressure a few points and lower your pulse rate and get a lot more relaxation out of it. You know, one more thing about the tuna fish issue, and let's face it, tuna fish isn't that healthy either. I mean, they tell pregnant women to avoid it, so that's not really a great example about the toxicity of tuna fish, because it is toxic.
Absolutely. And Dr. Wolfson, I think we got so many other things to talk about here. Before we get there, we're going to be talking about sleep. I want to talk about the one surprising heart fact that most people don't hear. I just want to thank our sponsor one more time, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in a delivery system. To learn more, visit livonlabs.com. That's livonlabs.com. So, Dr. Wolfson, how important is sleep for heart health?
Sleep is absolutely critical, yet doctors never talk about it. If you complain to a doctor about sleep, they'll give you a pharmaceutical. That's not the answer. The answer is we have to do it like our ancestors did. Go to sleep with the sundown, awake with the sunrise. It sounds funny in the, you know, our modern lifestyle, but we really have to. We know that women that sleep less than 6 hours have a much higher risk of having a stroke than those women who sleep longer than 7 hours. Men have a much higher risk of having a heart attack with that same scenario. We clearly need 8 to 9 hours is the most important thing we can do regarding sleep. We need to get that quality time for our body to recharge.
And we're working with so many people over the years with my training in exercise physiology. I can tell you without a shadow of doubt, when someone is sleep deprived, it is just so much harder to get the metabolism going. It's easier for that person to gain weight. So it's really a shame if you are sleep deprived. You got to do everything you can to try to improve your sleep. I couldn't agree with you more. Dr. Wolfson, what about the one surprising heart fact that most people don't know about? What is that?
Well, this kind of goes back to the whole sleep issue and regarding stress, but it has to do with daylight savings time. Daylight savings time in the spring, when we all spring forward, well, not we all, because I live in Arizona, we don't actually do that, but when we spring forward, we lose an hour of sleep. Because of that, the following day, heart attacks are 20% more likely on that day following daylight savings time. Why? Because we lost that hour of sleep, and we're stressed out about losing that hour of sleep. It is a bad, bad thing to do in the 21st century. We don't need daylight savings time. I think it's a good thing for the government to get rid of. If you look at past presidents like Lyndon Johnson, and you look at even up to most recently George Bush, both Bushes, they all had heart disease. Clinton had heart disease. If Obama wants to avoid a heart attack, I think it'd be a good thing for him to do would be to abolish daylight savings time.
And isn't it true also, Dr. Wolfson, I know a lot of people are kind of familiar with this, but a lot of people may not have heard about it, is that a lot of these heart attacks, when you talk about the stress, the connection, I should say, between stress and increasing your risk of a heart attack, don't a lot of these heart attacks in these emergency room visits, they shoot up not on the weekend, but on Monday morning?
Classic for Monday morning, the day after a holiday, even the first day of a new month. There's clearly, associations with that. There's a lot of heart attacks that present after the Super Bowl, for example. So we need to, really recognize this. And I think people in general need to be educated about how to, relax as much as possible in these situations to avoid heart attacks and strokes.
Yeah, I would imagine if somebody wagered a really high bet and they lost it after the Super Bowl, that probably puts a lot of stress on the heart. But anyway, all kidding aside, Dr. Wolfson, what kind of heart tests do you recommend as a board-certified cardiologist?
Well, the typical cardiologist runs the typical basic tests, and we need so much more than that. We need to get much more in depth. In my office out here in Arizona, we do advanced lipid analysis, where we're looking at the number of LDL particles and HDL particles and something called LP little a, which is a real nasty bugger when it comes to heart disease. We look at genetics. We look at markers of heart of inflammation and cellular levels of omega-3 and heavy metals, food sensitivities, and salivary hormones. There's so many different tests to really get in depth and to look at what someone's risk is. And most doctors aren't doing it. Number one, they're not familiar with the test. Number two, they don't have enough time to learn about those tests, and they don't have enough time to discuss the results with you as a patient. So you want to find a doctor that's really going to invest their time with you to really, to get you healthy.
I know it's not for everybody who's listening to this program. We're in well over 30 countries around the world actively listening to this show. But for those that are interested, you can go to naturalhealth365.com. You'll click the podcast link. And then when you see the Paleo Diet, that's the show with Dr. Wolfson. We're going to have a link below where it'll have the drswolfson.com. That's Dr. Wolfson's website. If you want to get in touch with him, that's thedrswolfson.com, especially for those people who might have some serious heart concerns and you're living in the United States. You might want to check that out. Dr. Wolfson, my last question to you is also just as important. What are some of those best supplements that you recommend for heart health?
Well, there's a lot of proven supplements regarding cardiovascular disease and cardiovascular disease prevention. You're not going to hear about it from your typical medical doctor, but you'll hear about it from me right now. The things that I recommend everybody is to start off with a good quality greens product, a good organic greens powder, dehydrated greens, great way to start off the day. That's how I start off my day. I also add into that chlorella and spirulina, great forms of protein, bind the toxins, wonderful ways to begin your day. Multivitamin. proven heart healthy, has a lot of science on it. If all the individual components are beneficial and proven, why wouldn't the whole multi be? It is proven to be beneficial as far as cancer, as heart disease, a lot of information on that. Omega-3 oils are critical. Omega-3 fish oil is my recommendation. But even things like CoQ10, vitamin K, hawthorn, L-carnitine, on and on and on. There's so much scientific literature. In fact, one of my favorites is berberine, B-E-R-B-E-R-I-N-E. One of my favorites when it comes to cardiovascular health. So a lot of things we can do out there. We don't need drugs to keep us healthy. We can do it all with nutrition, supplements, and healthy lifestyle changes like we just have been discussing.
Dr. Wilson, fantastic information. I want to thank you so much for your time today. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jonathan.
The show was brought to you by NaturalHealth365.com. Are you looking for natural health solutions? Visit NaturalHealth365.com for a free subscription to our newsletter, free shows, plus some great gifts. Thank you for listening, and be sure to join us next week for another great show.